The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So amazing words of scripture, aren't they, which can actually have the effect of making us feel more at peace just by saying them. And I believe that the slower you say them, the more peace you can actually find within them. What do we mean by peace? Peace might be thought of as a state of tranquility, which in turn conjures up other words such as calmness or serenity or stillness, all of which makes peace a much sought after fruit. Living peace-filled lives is important for our own health and well-being, and indeed the well-being of humanity. And I'm sure that in all the busyness of our everyday lives or on specific occasions, we've all craved a bit of peace and quiet, which is often easier said than done, isn't it? The children or grandchildren won't settle down or play quietly or nicely. The phone rings, or someone, typically these days a delivery driver, knocks at the door interrupting what we're doing. The dog won't stop barking or chewing. And then there's all that stuff whizzing around our heads. Your mind won't turn off when you go to bed, or you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind whirs into action. Then you have the challenges of life, the things that trouble you, difficult conversations that you might have to have at work or with family or friends, or dare I say even at church. Health concerns for yourself or loved ones. Difficult life decisions that need to be made. Other people's inappropriate behaviour. And then there's the world stuff. You know, abuse, knife crime, terrorism, wars, poverty, political leaders. But while many of us long for peace in our lives and in the world, it can be incredibly elusive. But the key message from the video that we watched earlier is that true peace can only be found in God. And as one writer put it, we will never find true peace apart from God, apart from Jesus, apart from the Holy Spirit, through whom the fruit of peace comes. And that true peace is God's peace, a peace that transcends all understanding, a peace that, while we can't understand what it is, we do know when we have it. A peace that will bring about the calmness, the serenity, the stillness from everything which is actually troubling us. In Psalm 29, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses people with peace. In 2 Thessalonians, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. God offers us his peace, but we have to be open to accept it. And it's not God's fault that we're not at peace. It's down to us. We let stuff get in the way of finding peace. In the video earlier, our wise friend Douglas mentioned lots of the stuff that gets in the way of peace. But in addition to just being too busy to allow God's peace in our lives, there's all sorts of other barriers, stuff that gets in the way. And you could perhaps summarize the main barriers to true peace as worry, fear, and conflict. And I'm sure that we all at some time or another, and some of us more than others, have experienced and will experience all of these. So you can probably all relate to them to some degree. So worry. Well, worry is uncertainty about the future. And it can drag us down and it can deny us peace. As it says in Proverbs 12, anxiety weighs down the heart. We don't know what is going to happen in the future, and so we worry about all sorts of stuff. Trivial stuff, significant stuff. But Jesus clearly tells us not to worry. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Well, that's stunningly brilliant advice, isn't it? Don't worry. Instead, seek God. As the video said, spend more time with God. Do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But we love a good worry, don't we? Most of you are probably sat there, believe in Jesus, Peter, believe in Jesus' teaching. Not that one. It's not God's fault that we worry. So it has to be down to us to stop worrying about stuff that we can't do anything about and to seek God's help to do better. And of course that's easier said than done. But maybe what we should all do is we should keep reading those words over and over again until it actually sinks in. Do not worry. And here's an interesting thought to leave you with. When I am worried, it's usually because I'm trying to do everything myself. When I am at peace, it's usually because I remember that God is in control. There's a truism. No, I don't like that one either, Peter. I'm still going to worry. It's not God's fault, is it? It's down to us. And then fear is another barrier to peace. You know, fear, of course, it alerts us to danger of the threat or harm. And sometimes it's real, sometimes it's imagined. And it can lead to real distress and like worry can also lead to health issues. But fear is often illogical, isn't it? The trouble is that we allow ourselves to dwell in the fear rather than deal with it. See, a number of members of my family, I should say our family really, are afraid of spiders. So brave old me gets called in to catch them and put them out in the garden. But it raises the question, what exactly is a daddy long legs going to do to them? It's not a notorious killer. Now, I'm afraid of heights. I don't know why. It's got worse as I've got older. And I should deal with it because I know logically that I will not, for example, fall off that ladder. But my fear gets in the way. And then, of course, it can be made worse because it can turn into a phobia. And a phobia is defined as an exaggerated or unrealistic fear of objects, situations or animals that can cause anxiety and avoidance. And then, of course, we can double up because we can worry about a fear. We can worry about spiders. We can worry about the ladder that I've got to go up tomorrow. And we certainly cannot find peace when we're afraid. So why not accept the peace that is offered to us through Jesus? And again, another extraordinary verse in Scripture, spoken by Jesus to his disciples just before he was taken and crucified. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The peace of Jesus, the peace that Jesus shares with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the peace that he is leaving with his disciples, the peace that is there for us, but we don't get that peace if we're afraid. Hence Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And just as Jesus tells us not to worry, he's now telling us not to be afraid. And we need to embrace those words. And of course, it's not easy. But again, it's only through God that we can lose our fear and we can find peace. Because true peace can only be found in God. And the third barrier, conflict. Problems in our relationships break the peace that we can have and need to have with each other. And only when people learn to live in peace with each other can the bigger conflicts then end. As it says in Romans 12, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now that is a brilliant, practical verse of scripture. Because it acknowledges that peace with other people is not always possible. That not everyone is willing to live in peace with us. But importantly, it tells us to do what we can. If we're not at peace with someone, make sure that it's not because of us. So what can we say? What can we do? Who can help? We need to think about taking the first step, doing what we can to restore the relationship and then leave it in God's hands to do the rest. And finally, it tells us there are to be no exceptions. God says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And one particular way that we can do that, or will help that for sure, is change the way that we look at people. So rather than looking at people with the negatives in mind, look for the good in people. Which is bound to help relationships, isn't it? So, if worry, fear and conflict are indeed the biggest barriers to our living in peace, then we can find the way to God's peace with the simple and perhaps irritatingly simple guidance in the Bible. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now for some of you, that might be plenty to be going on with. To take on board, say, okay, I can work on that to try and find God's peace. But there's more. Those of you thought, well done. So how else can we find peace in our lives? How can we live more peacefully with people around us? It's all in the Bible. Amazing, that, really. It's all in the Bible. So I'm going to go through seven more so that we've got a nice round 10. 10 paths to peace, every single one of them in the Bible. So my next one is have faith. I don't think anybody here would argue with having faith is clearly being important if we're to find God's peace. And you might think faith is a given. But I was reading something what I thought was interesting recently. It was an article about cultural Christianity. And the general point was that there are people who hold themselves to be Christians. They go to church. They embrace what goes on in church. They get something from what goes on in church. They believe what Christians believe in, how we should behave, and they try to behave in the same way. But they don't have faith. They don't, for example, believe in the resurrection. But having a true faith, a true belief, is fundamental to finding peace. Because our peace comes through our relationship with God, through Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. As those words from Romans 5 say, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Because of the faith that we have in Jesus, we are forgiven our sins. But to know that forgiveness, we have to truly confess our sins and we have to seek God's forgiveness. People who sin and hold on to those sins are bound to feel less at peace. Confessing our sins, knowing that we're forgiven, getting rid of what is wrong in our lives, it's an important step in finding peace with ourselves. The peace of God comes from knowing that God loves and forgives us. And then, of course, we have trust in the Lord. As I've said already, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Or in John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." And the logical extension of that second passage is that if any of us are here this morning with troubled hearts, it may mean that we're just not trusting God enough. Trusting God, trusting Jesus, and we will know God's peace. And we know, or we sort of know, that it's useless to worry about something over which we have no control. It's pointless to worry about something that may or may not happen. And Jesus' message is simple. Trust in him and trust in God. As Corrie ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And the third one is rest in Christ. Earlier I mentioned the word tranquility when defining peace. And one writer described tranquility as a state of confident rest which stems from identity in Christ. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest in Christ and we will find peace. And in John 16, "I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have troubles, but he did promise that we would find peace in him in the midst of all our troubles. Jesus said, "In me you may have peace." And again, as Corrie ten Boom wrote, "I looked on Jesus and the dove of peace entered my heart." And the fourth one is read and embrace the wisdom in God's word. And as everything I've mentioned so far, it's all in the Bible, so that's pretty much a given. But specifically in Psalm 119, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." And then in Proverbs 3, it says, "Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." And "her," in this context, refers to wisdom. So in essence, you could rewrite that and say, "The ways of wisdom are pleasant, and all the paths of wisdom are peace." So when we study and embrace God's word, we gain wisdom, and with that wisdom comes peace. So it's basically saying, do what's right according to God's word, and we will find peace. We shared the peace a short while ago. And it's interesting when you read the Bible how many times Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace be with you." As we read the Bible, therefore, we are frequently being blessed by God's peace. As we read those words, they are being said to us. It's also interesting, if you use the word interesting in a liberal way, how often Paul writes in his letters these words, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blessing is used by other writers too. But that is a blessing of God's grace and peace for us all. So as we read those words, we should receive that blessing in the same way that we received the blessing from each other a while ago. God's peace is being given to us relentlessly if we just find it. And if you don't want to read the whole Bible, go on to BibleGateway.com and just put in peace. And all of those will come up and you can read all of those examples of God's peace being given to us. And the fifth one is pray. And it's back to those words that I started with this morning from Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now I know you, and I know that most of you like a good offer. You like a bargain. Sometimes we love a bargain so much that we take the bargain even if we don't want what's on offer. I didn't really want that cake. I didn't want to look at it deliberately, Malcolm. I didn't really want that cake, but at that price I couldn't leave it. How much stuff have we got at home where that's how we got it? And this passage from Philippians is a great offer. And it's actually a great offer from something that we should want. Because the offer is, we give God our worries and concerns. And he gives us his peace. Why wouldn't we take that deal? Give away worries and concerns, take back peace. So as soon as we start worrying about something, anything, we should give it to God in prayer. And when we do, God will give us his peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. As we say these days, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? My sixth one, live in unity with each other. Hopefully you remember last year's verse of the year from Ephesians. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then from Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Enough said, I don't have anything else to add to that. And my final one, ask God to help develop the fruit of peace. As with all of the fruit of peace, we should be making this a matter of personal prayer for ourselves. So add to your prayer list a request for God's help in developing the fruit of peace. In your lives, in all of our lives. So to conclude, when, for whatever reason, we are seeking peace in our lives, when we're troubled by all sorts of stuff, true peace can only be found in God. And the path to true peace is found in God's word. With those 10 passages. So just before our final song, just reflect on those. Maybe find one or two in there you think, yes, I'm going to grab that one. I'm going to do something about that one. Because that hits home to me this morning. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.